To stay standing for this song. It's called Glorious Day, and it's only because of the resurrection power that him fleeing the grave for our sin is how we come out of our own sinful graves, that our old life is gone. We are no longer dead. We are alive in Christ, and that's what this song is about this morning, so let's proclaim that truth.
I was buried beneath my shame. Thank you.
Of that story, that we know that when we come to Christ initially, he wants us to come even in our broken state so that he can fix us, he can put us back together, put those pieces back together. That's only through his power. But does that mean we never come back to him broken? Nope. On this side of heaven, there's going to be many times that you're going to have to just say, here you go, God, here's a handful of brokenness, I'm back again. And he's able, through the power of the cross, it's never ending. That grace is, and mercy is never ending. Now, do we hopefully come back less broken when we come back, or less times maybe as we grow in our faith? But there's certainly times that we're going to fail and we're going to need him every day.
Your treasure in
jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel. The world to see your life in me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you
Messiah, but somehow I know. Well, guys, Easter matters. Amen. Easter really does matter. And you know, it's kind of interesting when we come to this time of year. I have colleagues who say, you know what, it's hard sometimes to preach at Easter and Christmas because we do it all the time. And, you know, as the years go on, it kind of feels like, how do you think outside of the box and keep it interesting for yourself? Well, you know what, if they have a hard time keeping Easter new and exciting for themselves, I think they're doing it wrong, right? This idea that we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of all the universe, and he would come down and live a perfect life and still take upon himself your punishment and your cross and your grave. And then the world would be transformed by the resurrection power, and he would share that with you. That has to be exciting. And you know, that's an exciting time. And I've always wondered, like, what does the world think Easter is? And, you know, we saw a little bit of that yesterday, right? Some of the kids are like, the Easter Bunny coming? And I'm like, yeah, the Easter Bunny's coming. But you know why the Easter Bunny's coming? And they're like, why? And I'm like, because Jesus, right? Like, as we open up those eggs, right, the tomb was opened up, and there was something beautiful inside, and his name was Jesus, and he came to life again as the tomb was opened up. And it was such an amazing time yesterday, hanging out with the kids and having fun. And you know what? We even had rain. The week coming in, there was rain forecast for Saturday, but time and time again for 18 years, God has blessed us with every event that we've done outside, right? And if you think that's coincidence, so you need to go get your head checked out, because that's not coincidence. It's amazing to me. We've had events outside down in the marina where the rain came all around us one year, but it wouldn't rain on us. It was so amazing, right? And everybody's going, now this is pretty cool, right? And we've come to expect that, you know, but we celebrate Easter. We celebrate Easter because it matters. And you know what? We see services around our community where they're trying to do special music, and they're doing kids' events, and they're doing different things. Tonight, we're going to show the Passion of the Christ, right? I want you to be confronted with the uncomfortable death of Jesus, because Easter matters. Right? And there's so many times where we think, you know, my sin is just too great. How could he ever forgive someone like me? Like, really, how could he give me a second chance? When we see what he did, and by his wounds we could be healed, it becomes pretty evident to me that the cross was enough. Right? Easter is everything, and that's why Easter matters. It's the story. It's the story. And then I shudder to think, what if there had been no resurrection? Right? What if Jesus hadn't taken my place? What if he hadn't paid the price for my sin? And you know what? There would be no reason to celebrate. There would be no hope in my life at all. Like, I think of the difference that Christ has made, and again, he's everything. But it's interesting, as you look at Scripture, they leave nothing out, right? It's all of these questions that you may have. Dive in and find out that the Word of God is living. But Paul talked about that idea, what if there'd been no Easter? What if there'd been no resurrection? He talks about it in 1 Corinthians 15, 12 and following. And I want to read it for us today because he makes it very plain. He says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses of God. For we have testified that God, he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then our faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we of all people are most to be pitied. Wow. Think about that. If there had been no Easter, we should be pitied. And Paul says it matter of fact. If there was no resurrection, then our message would be powerless, our faith would be useless, salvation would be pointless, and our lives would be hopeless. Are you glad for the resurrection today? Wow. If it hadn't happened, we'd literally be living a lie. If it had not happened, right? But around the world, think about this, the world stops and there is excitement in every celebration across the globe today that there was an empty tomb. And we get excited that God rolled away the stone, this idea of the resurrection. And again, we look at it. It's found in all four Gospels. Why? Because this was the event that changed the world. It changed everything. And all four gospel writers had a reason to write about the resurrection. Matthew, he wrote about it because he wanted to show the authority of Jesus as the Messiah. Go back and read Matthew's account. It's kind of interesting. Mark, he wrote about it because he got straight to the point. In fact, you can really see that Mark hung out with Peter when you read his account, right? Luke recorded some different things about the resurrection of Christ, right? He recorded the convincing proofs because he was educated, he was a physician, and he was always thinking with a scientific mind. And John recorded it so that everybody who heard it would believe. All different reasons, all threw it in their recording of the gospel. Why? Because it was the resurrection that was the moment that the church was birthed, the church was created. It was the resurrection that created Christianity. Think about that, right? There was no church before the resurrection. Jesus would establish that after the resurrection. There was no faith that could be called Christianity before the resurrection. That event would change it all, right? It's amazing. Think about the death of Jesus. There was so much on the line at this moment in the world history, right? Jesus' body was placed in a tomb, and in that moment, it says the disciples, they scattered and they hid. They were grieving. Even for them, those who walked with Christ and saw things that they couldn't imagine, things that couldn't be explained, they were so defeated, and they felt that it was over. That's why the empty tomb becomes everything, right? Because churches around the world today, think with this on me, they celebrate the impossible. We get excited about the impossible taking place. And what was the impossible? The impossible was that the stone was rolled away. And if you study history, right, and again, not just the biblical account, right? Josephus, many other writers outside of the Bible talked about Jesus, talked about the incredible events of that particular weekend, that the stone had been rolled away, and that shouldn't have happened. Why? Because the Romans had sealed the tomb. You can't break a Roman seal. You can't. They were the greatest power in the world, the greatest power that the world had ever known. They were ruling, right? And if you broke a Roman seal, it would be death to you and death to your home. So nobody would take on the Romans, right? Why in the world would they ever take a risk like that? And to make matters worse, right, it wasn't just that they sealed the tomb. Pilate sent guards to post there. Now, why would he do that? Well, again, think about what was riding on this whole event. And you know what? The Rome had decided, wow, we're close to riots, right? Jerusalem, there's this feverish pitch, and you know what? If this body goes missing, his disciples will say that he rose from the dead because it was predicted, and you know what? We need to make sure that nothing happens to this body, and the Jews were the same, right? They wanted to make sure that Jesus' body remained in the grave, and so they posted guards. Now, what's significant about that? Well, Roman guards could not leave their post. If they were found to leave their post, they were cowards, so they were killed, and their family was killed with them. That's the incentive. And if they had fallen asleep, if they had shown the weakness of falling asleep on duty, then they would be killed again, this penalty of death. And so guards are posted at the tomb, and the tomb is sealed. And so guess what? Nothing could happen. The body could go nowhere. That stone can't be moved. And neither would those guards ever move. And yet we celebrate that the stone was rolled away. Even better, we have witness after witness after witness after witness after witness. I don't understand how the world can dismiss the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, when we think about our courts even today, there is nothing more powerful than an eyewitness, right? Like, if you have an eyewitness my land, that's a beautiful thing to have for your case. And lawyers will go, you know what, it's a slam dunk because we had somebody who saw everything that was there. Cliff knows this. He's taken hundreds and thousands of eyewitness accounts, right, in his time, right? But I think about that. It's not just what's better than one eyewitness is having two eyewitnesses, right? That's gold, right? But not only did the disciples witness Jesus coming back to life, meeting a living Savior, in 1 Corinthians 15, 6, it says that there were over 500 brothers and sisters who saw the resurrected Christ. How can you dismiss that? And these weren't normal eyewitnesses. These were eyewitnesses that when you testify to Christ, you testify against Rome, the strongest military power who wanted them dead. Why would they ever testify to a risen Lord unless they had seen it, unless they had known him in his resurrection? And again, we know all 12 disciples ended up dying. Why would they do that if they hadn't seen him? Why would they do that? They would do that because the impossible happened and the tomb was empty. Hundreds would testify and risk their life. Why? Because the resurrection was everything. And when we talk about witness after witness after witness, I can't help but go to Hebrews. When it talks about the heroes of our faith in Hebrews 11, and you know what? That whole chapter, if you go back and you read it, there are so many miracles, right? Where people were in a mess, God came through. People were at their wits' end, God came through. People were facing death, but God came through. But look at the second half of Hebrews 11. There was some horrible things that the witnesses also had to go through. Right? Verse 35 and following, listen to this. Why in the world would they ever endure? Think about this. There were others who were tortured. These are witnesses. There were others who were tortured, refused to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. Why would they do that? Why would they watch family members sawn in half? The only explanation is because the tomb was empty. You see, those witnesses had found something, and I hope and pray that this is your story. They had found something that was far greater than their physical life. They found a spiritual beginning and a promise that the spiritual beginning would know no end. You see, the resurrection was everything. I was thinking, you know, again, and this is weird, but this is me thinking outside of the box, and again, Jesus will never get old to me. I want to say a name, and all you guys will recognize it. How many know the name Big Bird? If you're visiting here today, yes, I'm always this weird, right? You know Big Bird. He's one of those beloved characters, and it's kind of interesting. I kind of did some research because I wasn't sure how long Sesame Street had been on the air. Do you know it aired first in 1969? That surprised me that it's been that long, and it's still going today, and I was going, it's this weird story, right? Sesame Street is Muppets, right, interacting with humans, trying to teach children some pretty neat life lessons and teaching you how to count and teaching you, you know, one, ha, 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 two, ha, ha. You know what I'm talking about, right? Right? There's a little guy who lives right in a trash can, and Mama used to say, you know what, you finish your school, Andrew. You're going to end up like Oscar, right? I'm going, wow, that's pretty dark, Mom, thanks, right? But Sesame Street was this thing. How many of you guys remember Mr. Hooper? Mr. Hooper, he was one of the beloved characters, and he ran Mr. Hooper's store, right? And he was kind of that grumpy old guy before the grumpy old guy thing was popular, right? But he would always have wisdom, like he was grumpy, but he would show patience, and I kind of liked Mr. Hooper. What was interesting was is something happened in 1982, right? The writers of Sesame Street, the cast of Sesame Street, they had to deal with something. The actor who played Mr. Hooper, his name was Will Lee, and he died of a heart attack. right? Now, you got to remember that this was 13 years they had been on the air, 13 years they had gone into the homes of people all around the world. And at the time, right, in 1982, they had 10 million viewers. And they said, how are we going to handle this? Like, what are we going to do? How do we dismiss Mr. Hooper? He's too big a part of the story, right? And so they started to throw back ideas back and forth saying, well, you know what, Mr. Hooper, maybe we could say he retired. Right? He retired and he's living in Florida, right? And kids will believe that, right? And they said, well, no, maybe we could say that he sold the store and he moved on, and right, we can bring in another character to replace Mr. Hooper, right? We're not going to call him Mr. Hooper 2, but we'll figure that out, right? And then one of the writers kind of said, you know what? We are here to teach children. Why don't we talk about death? Now think about that. This is a children's show. 1982, and all of a sudden the room got really quiet, and they said, you know what, if we talk about death, isn't that fair? Like, we've always said, don't talk down to children. We've always had the principle, let's talk to kids. And so let's talk to them about death. And I don't know if you remember this episode, but it involved Big Bird. And this is an episode that's kind of etched in my mind, right? It was a very weird and strange episode, but they decided to tell the kids that Mr. Hooper died. So Big Bird walks in, and he had this drawing of Mr. Hooper. And he said, I can't wait to show Mr. Hooper my drawing. I can't wait to show Mr. Hooper my drawing. And one of the cast members, the other cast members, they said, well, Mr. Hooper's gone. And then Big Bird, he was just so excited, he said, well, I can't wait till he gets back again, because when I see Mr. Hooper again, I'm going to show him my drawing. And they said, well, wait a minute, Big Bird, we need to tell you something. We need to tell you that Mr. Hooper died. And he said, well, okay, he died? And they're like, yeah, he died. And he said, okay, well, I can't wait to show him my picture when he gets back. And they're going, Big Bird, you need to understand something here. Mr. Hooper, he's really dead. And Big Bird couldn't really wrap his mind around that, right? And Big Bird said, well, you know what, Mr. Hooper, you mean he's not coming back? And the cast member said, no, Mr. Hooper isn't coming back. And Big Bird asked that question. He said, why not? And the cast member said this statement, Big Bird, when people die, they don't come back. Oh, that was so sad. Like, I remember going, ugh. You want to know something? The gospel of Sesame Street isn't very good news, is it? The gospel of Sesame Street is lacking. You know, I remember that episode, and even as a kid, I went, you know what, that doesn't sound right to me. What was wrong with Mr. Hooper? Didn't he know Jesus? But you see, Sesame Street's story ended at the grave. Because they didn't have the hope of the empty tomb. In contrast to that, we get these missionary reports and evangelistic reports and different things that I check up and I read from once in a while. And how many of you know the Jesus film? The Jesus film is one of those films that has gone all over the world, and it's been translated into many different languages, and they take it into nations that really don't have an understanding of Christianity. A couple of years ago, they took it into Bangladesh. And they were showing the Jesus film to hundreds of villagers, right? And again, when something happens like that, where all of a sudden this big production crew comes in and there's great big speakers and there's a great big screen and they invite the whole community out, people come from miles and miles and miles around to see what these missionaries were going to do. And so there was hundreds of people watching this Jesus film, captivated, never before had seen miracles. And here they were seeing miracles, right? And they didn't have TVs available to them. They didn't have movie theaters available to them. They didn't have these great sound systems. And they're hearing, you know, the underscore of the movie, like this music that's building for them emotion. And they're in wonder. They're in wonder at what Jesus had done. And then all of a sudden it starts to turn, right? Well, wait a minute, why are they arresting Jesus? Like, what did Jesus do? Jesus has only been helping people. Why is everybody mad, right? And the villagers were trying to grasp that. And then all of a sudden, they started to see the crucifixion unfold, and people started to cry. There was gasps in the audience. It's interesting that they said that there was people that were screaming at the screen, right? They were so horrified at what they were doing to Jesus. And through the chaos, there was this young man, right? When people were yelling at the screen, and he stood up and he said, "Hold on, hold on." He says, "Don't be afraid." He gets up again because I saw it before. Wow. He was proclaiming that the stone would be rolled away, and he already understood that the resurrection would everything. You know, that's the story of Easter. Church, oh, would we celebrate every day that he gets up again? Don't be afraid, he got up again. You know, Sesame Street was wrong. People can come back after they die. You know what? Jesus has been dealing with stones since the beginning of time, right? That he has been dealing with stones and moving stones. Why? Because he knew that you would need saving. If you are here today, you already know this truth. You can't save yourself. You've tried. And no matter your effort, you still make mistakes. You still falter. You still fail. You can't save yourself. So why in the world wouldn't you let a Savior save? That's what he does. A Savior saves. And yes, you will make a mess. Man left alone will self-destruct. You will end in the tomb. And mankind can't deal with the stone. So why do we get excited about Easter? We get excited about Easter because Jesus can deal with the stones. Right? The prophet Ezekiel had this really cool verse in chapter 36, verse 26. He says, this is God talking to you. He says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." You see, Jesus has been dealing with stones again since the beginning of time. Everybody bow your heads. You can't save yourself. And you can't deal with the stones. So when we get excited about Easter, when the world gets excited about Easter, it's because it is the story of the Savior, and the Savior can save. He moves the stones of the tombs that we face, and he moves the stones that are in our heart. Can I plead with you today to stop trying to save yourself and let the Savior save? If you need him today, there is a new spirit that awaits you. Why? Because your spirit is broken. Life has proven that to you. If you need him today, I want to remind you that there's a heart of flesh waiting to replace your heart of stone. Do you need him? Because the resurrection story is the good news, and it's your good news. It's been my good news. Oh, the empty tomb is such good news. Let the Savior save. You know, maybe you are here today and you are just so excited about Easter because it has never gotten old to you. You've let that process already happen. You knew that you couldn't do it on your own. You surrendered. You knelt before Jesus Christ and you said, "Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me." And he did just that. And you know what? You found out that there was a new adventure waiting for you, and every day is filled with life and hope and peace, regardless of your circumstances, that you know that even when things are out of control, the one who holds you is still in control. And the worst that can happen to you today is you may die, and even then you win because we have a Savior who already removed the stones. Praise God and never let it get old. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you would always be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have, because it is everything. It is everything. It is all we need. It is all we need, and it will never end. But maybe you are here today or you're listening online and you would say, "I am still dead.
I am dead inside, and everything I try to do to find life fails. Everything I touch turns to mud, and my best efforts, you know what, they seem to fail, and I'm stuck, and I just don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. I want you to know that you need him because you are lost, but Jesus came so that you could be found. And you may be dead, but Jesus came to conquer death so that you could experience life. And if you are here today and you need a Savior, then let the Savior save. All that you must do is ask and receive. The Bible tells us, believe and be saved. You know, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me. That's all you need to say. Oh, if you are here or listening and you need God, let Easter be your day of salvation. Let's pray. Lord, I want to say thank you for Easter. It is everything. And I want to say thank you for the resurrection power that Allison has already talked about, Father God, the resurrection power that is extended to us, that you are a God who deals with stones, not just our stone heart. But you did the impossible. You rolled away the stone. It had been sealed. It was guarded. And witness after witness after witness would testify that you live. Father God, I pray that we would let our story be known, those of us who live because of the life that you share. And Father God, if there are those who are here today who have found themselves dead, don't let them remain that way. Oh, I pray that you would remove their heart of stone. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me. I pray that Easter, this Easter, would be an Easter that there would be birth. There would be new life. Father God, we want to say thank you. We say thank you because Easter is everything. And all God's people said, amen.